Sometimes it's because people have been injured in a really traumatic way, and they're terrified of the images, the thoughts, the memories, the emotions connected with the trauma. So anything that comes up to it, the anger comes up really, really loud and clear as a kind of shield, a way to not feel those other emotions.
As Dr. Ron Siegel reminds us, trauma adds a unique challenge to working with a client's anger. The anger becomes a vigilant protector, defending against any threat of re-traumatization. So how do we work with that? According to Dr. Pat Ogden, the key is to invite the anger in. Here, Pat reveals how she helped recalibrate a trauma survivor's anger by shifting how he connected to it.
Well, I think of what is the source of the anger and the hostility? And often it's a combination of trauma and attachment. Many times clients are angry and hostile due to what I would call a dysregulated fight response from trauma. And if that's so, the only way I know how to work with that is to integrate that response. A story of that would be with a veteran who would have terrible attacks of rage. He never hurt people, but he threw things, broke things, screamed, you know, just did a lot of destructive behavior when this rage would come on. I mean, other people lash out at their kids. I used to work with batterers who lashed out at it would hit their girlfriends and wives and children and really abuse them. But I never, in all my work with perpetrators, even in the prison, I never met anyone. I did not meet anyone who really wanted to hurt. There was a part of them often that wanted to, but not the whole person. So with this veteran, I wanted to bring the symptom into the room, which is the only way that I know how to help it integrate it. So I wanted him to feel that rage in the session to a degree that his cortex was still online and he didn't lose, you know, his ability to regulate himself. So we did, and he felt this explosive impulse to lash out. And see, the key there for me then is to integrate those aggressive movements that he had, so that his subcortical brain doesn't take over. Because when he had these rage attacks, it would be like, he would say, that wasn't me. So I was talking about when someone has this dysregulated fight response, they feel like they're going crazy. Like, it wasn't me, that's not me, I'm not that person. And what needs to happen is that action, in my opinion, needs to be regulated so that the cortex can stay online when they feel that rage. So with this veteran, when that rage started bubbling up and he felt this impulse to just lash out, and he said it's explosive. And this is what he feels, it's explosive. So he did that motion in very slow motion, telling me every moment what he experienced, so that that action of rage could be executed with his, what Dan Siegel would call the vertical alignment of his brain. So his cortex was online. The subcortical brain wasn't taking over. And a few iterations of that seems to help really regulate that dysregulated fight response.
When you were doing that, though, was he feeling the rage or more talking about?
Oh, no, he was feeling it. He was feeling it. He was making sounds. He was going like this, and he was feeling it, but he was also mindful. And that I think is the key, because we don't want to just repeat that dysregulated explosion. So he was feeling it, but we know the cortex goes offline in trauma, and he was reenacting that over and over and over. It's like Pierre Janet said, traumatized patients keep repeating the actions that began when the trauma happened, but it never resolves because they repeat it in a dysregulated fashion. So this was helping him integrate that action through his body as he felt the rage, but also integrate the cortex through the mindfulness in his telling me what his experience was.
With this integration, Pat helped her client form a connection to his rage that resulted in less reactivity. For another perspective on this important work, we visit the world's greatest expert on the treatment of trauma, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk. Here, Bessel stresses why we should be more focused on the non-hostile client.
Actually, what's more worrisome is people who are not hostile. And when you work with trauma, the issue is much more people who are so scared of their anger that they're always compliant and always are pseudo nice. And they are not in touch with their anger. Being pissed off is part of, if you have been hurt and violated, you're pissed off. And you're pissed off for a good reason. So if people are angry, the critical issue is to not let your mirror neural system get hijacked by somebody else. Right? The critical issue is that if you become angry with me right now, for me to say, what is, Ruth is getting quite mad at me. Is this about Ruth? Is this about me? Have I said something? Or no, I think this is something about Ruth. Something is bothering me. And so you need to really check in with yourself where your own reactions come from. And once I can ascertain that the anger that's happening in the room doesn't emanate from me, I can say, okay, she is really upset. So I can really see how pissed off you are. And there must be a good reason for it. Again, all parts are welcome. And, you know, traumatized people get all these labels, oppositional defiant disorder, conduct disorder, borderline personality disorder. They're pissed. They're pissed for a good reason. People have messed with them, you know. And if you're not pissed, you're in trouble. And there's a healthy thing to do. And I say, so what are you pissed about? How long have you been this angry? Who is the main butt of your anger? Is it me? Is it anybody else you're more angry with than me? What can I do to make you less upset with me? Shall we change chairs? Shall I talk differently? Shall I pretend like I have a French accent? Like how can we deal with this? But the anger is there for good reason. So we better find out what this anger is about.
Do you find people that patients who are angry and hostile to be more difficult for you to work with?
No, on the contrary. The hardest people are the people who are so scared of their anger. Yeah. It's the hardest people. Because energy is part of anger is part of it, gives people energy. Like anybody who's not angry about the political system, what's wrong with you? Anybody who's not angry about the insurance system, what's wrong with you? Anger is a very important emotion. It's the thing that makes people change. And if people are passive and compliant, that's what worries me. Anger is a real major affect to help you to protect yourself and stand up for yourself. Once that goes, most traumatized people are angry. They're angry because people have hurt them. And nobody did anything about it. And they want redress. And they want people to take them seriously. And so we need to go where the anger comes from. And we need to help them to find some sort of resolution about what the anger is about. One of the most bizarre treatments to me is anger management training. Anything about neuroscience doesn't make any sense whatsoever, because anger management training is frontal lobe training to recognize when you get angry and to stop yourself. But when you get really angry, your frontal lobe shuts down and your limbic system, from which anger comes, takes over. So anger management is great as long as you don't get angry. Actually, most of the sort of traditional therapies are great as long as you don't get exposed to scary stuff. But you need to go to the limbic system. And you need to go to one thing that one of my favorite methods is, and on board of directors of the is something called Impact Model Mugging. It's an old program set up by karate instructors back in Oakland, California 30 years ago, that now have branches all over the country. and they teach traumatized women martial arts. And it came from a karate instructor, 50-degree black belt, who got vexed. And her friends got together and said, how could this woman who can basically kill anybody with bare hands, it's very intimidating, how can she get raped? And they said, she must have become de-skilled. She must have been collapsed. This has happened when people need to get scared. And when the anger doesn't happen, and it shouldn't happen, it's a terrible thing. I'm much more worried about anger not happening than anger happening. And so we have all these collapsed women who have had bad experiences, who now go through the world as if I'm a victim and anybody can do anything to me. And people will do things to them because they are sitting ducks. Okay? And now they take martial arts training, and at the end of a number of weeks of mindfulness training, attention training, learning how to fight, they have a graduation where they reenact a rape scene or a molestation scene, but they take an active role in fighting against the abuser. And people come out of there, and they are embodied, and they don't have to get angry. Just one little glance, like, don't you mess with me, and people back off. Anger is a beautiful emotion. And that's my, I don't have trouble with angry people in my practice because I think that anger is a beautiful emotion and people know it.
Bessel had an interesting perspective about how we should be looking at people who don't express anger. I mean, obviously we don't want to trigger them into shutdown, but anger does need to be felt and lived with. Often when a client can be present with their anger, that's a great opportunity to begin reprocessing it. In the next video, we're going to look at how a client's attachment experience can drive up their anger. I'll see you there.